Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1 Evanston, Chicago. I'm Juliet Allen, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Monday's campus demonstrations of solidarity with Palestine, an exploration of JoJo Siwa's recent rebrand. Does she have Wildcats convinced? Meanwhile, on campus, wildlife is out for the spring. Stay tuned for a deep dive into Northwestern's fuzziest residents. Plus, everything you need to know about entertainment and weather in Chicagoland. These stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. On May Day this Monday, protesters went on strike in solidarity with Palestine and the nationwide campus demonstrations. Edward Simon Cruz and Grace Herzog have the story.
At the Rock on Wednesday, demonstrators encouraged students to boycott class. Outside Harris Hall, two students taped a poster saying, quote, "Blood on our money." Protesters arrived at around 9 a.m., chanting as students went to class.
The strike comes after Monday's compromise between the Northwestern Divestment Coalition and the university over the encampment on Deering Meadow. It also follows violent encampment disputes at Columbia, UCLA, and other U.S. universities. One organizer told WNUR that they were, quote, "autonomous students, faculty, and community members mobilizing together in solidarity with the national call for anyone within university systems to strike." The papers handed out contained the words, quote, "no grades, no class, no finals," written in bold. At 11 a.m., one protester read "It Is With Peace," a poem written by queer anti-war activist Siegfried Sassoon in 1917.
"Pursuing peace has been the best excuse for making war. That peace of dwelling, peace of graveyard, peace of the heaven of the carpet wound and altar black, peace of the quiet made of water."
Afterward, peace. The same demonstrator asked the group to break into small circles and discuss the meaning of peace. The poem reading was one of several programs at the strike focusing on art. Later in the day, other protesters sang and taught resistance songs, some in Yiddish. Throughout the day, some Jewish students observed the strike from afar. Following Hamas's October 2023 attack on Israel, some Jewish students have expressed concern about an increase in anti-Semitism on campus.
University administrators arrived at the strike soon after it began. They issued a violation notice from the Office of Community Standards and watched the area from a distance for several hours. The letter explained that students broke the university's interim policy and refused requests for identification. The university cited the newly instated rule prohibiting demonstrations at the Rock before 3 p.m. Instead of leaving, the group taped the notices to lampposts, spray-painting them red with X's and saying "F*** NUPD." The letter ended with the following warning, quote, "Failure to comply will result in formal disciplinary action. However, as of today, the university has not taken action against those striking."
Outside protesters were also in attendance, as multiple members of the Revolutionary Communist Corporation for the Emancipation of Humanity handed out separate flyers to advertise a march in Chicago. One member was also a protester in the 1980s Antifa movement. She called for full revolution as the only way to invoke change. Another wore a shirt that said, quote, "America was never great. We need to overthrow this system."
Late in the afternoon, protesters moved to Deering Meadow to listen to Professor Wendy Perlman discuss Palestinian resistance efforts.
As of today, the Rock is still painted with the Palestinian flag. For WNUR News, I'm Grace Herzog.
And I'm Edward Simon Cruz.
JoJo Siwa has been catching a lot of flack lately for her edgy rebrand. Is she really becoming the bad girl she says she is? What do Northwestern students think? Basil Free finds out.
JoJo! Have you learned nothing?
JoJo Siwa has, in fact, learned nothing. The Dance Moms alum, once known for her slick back ponytail and larger than life hair bows, has entered her bangers era. Or at least she's trying to the dismay of the Chronically Online and Generation Z alike. Siwa originally gained notoriety after placing in the top 5 on the second season of Abby Lee Miller's Ultimate Dance Competition, then joining the famed dance instructor's company soon thereafter. After her 2-season tenure on the infamous reality show, Siwa began her music career with the release of the 2016 single Boomerang, establishing her association with the PC, kid-friendly, and kitschy image she's been unable to shake. Leading up to 2024, it seems Siwa's Nickelodeon safe appeal was here to stay. That is, until we got Karma, Siwa's fatally capitalistic and, shocker, mild profanity-laced attempt to prove to the world that I was a bad girl, I did some bad things. Of course, the internet had its thoughts, for the most part universally panning the dancer-turned-wannabe pop star for what was deemed as, quote, fa edgy, and, quote, performed with all the conviction of the elementary aid students who used to be her fans, by Jason P. Frank of Vulture. Tired of sifting through all the discourse, I was curious about what my Northwestern peers had to say. To do so, I assembled a packed roundtable of JoJo fans, JoJo fan adjacents, and everyone in between to get the scoop. Here's what they had to say.
So, JoJo Siwa's from Iowa, and I'm from Iowa. So we have a really deep emotional connection that goes way back. Actually, the very first article that I ever published was about JoJo Siwa. Because her aunt lives in my hometown. So we're basically like sisters.
That's Medill and Weinberg sophomore Ava Helscher. We began our conversation by discussing initial impressions of the Karma singer, taking it all the way back to her Dance Mom days.
So I watched her on there when she was like kind of constantly bullied by Abby, and she was kind of an underdog. And so I feel like in some ways you kind of rooted for her a little, just because she was real.
That's Medill and Weinberg sophomore Virginia Hunt. To her, seeing Siwa initially start on the show at such a young age fostered a sense of sympathy. For Weinberg sophomore Ella Marks, however, her associations with the singer tended to align with the greater internets.
The first things that I think of when I think of JoJo Siwa are the bows and the receding hairline. I feel like her receding hairline was such a big topic of conversation. And I know it sounds funny, but genuinely, those are my first memories.
After talking impressions, I was curious to hear the group's thoughts on what everyone can't seem to stop talking about, Karma. Opinions, expectedly, were mixed.
Initial reaction, wow. I couldn't stop watching the music video. I think it's brilliant. It does its job if its job is capturing attention. And I do think it's catchy.
That's school communication sophomore Ainsley Wilson. Though others in the group were more iffy about the single, Wilson spoke high praise for Siwa and her edgier musical rebrand. Others, including Medill and Weinberg sophomore Lexi Goldstein, commented on the song's music video and its inclusivity.
I feel like that is one of the better things that came from the music video and the song, mainly the music video and the representation. It was great for the queer community, but at the same time, I think it's a sorry for saying this, but kind of a forgettable song.
Siwa came out as queer in 2021 and has since become a staunch advocate against bullying and discrimination against people based on sexual orientation. Despite supporting her work for the LGBTQ+ community, Goldstein was critical over Siwa's recent memeable comments on how she, quote, wanted to start a new genre called gay pop through the release of Karma.
Oh, there are so many queer icons that came before her and have produced art forms that are musical or otherwise that are just a lot more mature.
Siwa also caught flack after listeners found out that Karma wasn't completely a JoJo original. Back in 2012, singer Britt Smith had attempted to launch her career with the song, which, after Siwa was released, resurfaced on TikTok when users noted the exact same lyrics in both versions. After Smith's recording began charting, many on the internet were quick to accuse Siwa of, quote, stealing, though Smith has since come to Siwa's defense, stating that she had, quote, done nothing wrong. Despite the backlash, though, many in the group were quick to defend Siwa's savviness.
People can say what they will, but JoJo has been a businesswoman since the beginning. She's been selling the JoJo Bobos, and now she's marketing the heck out of this song, and I appreciate her for that.
Like Helscher, Goldstein echoed a similar appreciation for the way JoJo has run her business.
Her entire, like, empire is built off of is pretending like she's not aware of how other people perceive her, but playing into it, and I think you know, if it makes you millions of dollars, it's kind of like, why not?
As Siwa sings many times throughout Boomerang, she just, quote, won't let the haters get their way, something that Marx was quick to note.
I feel like people hate on her so much, but at the end of the day, she doesn't outwardly care about the hate, at least, and also is profiting off of it much more than most of her haters are.
For Hunt, what really strikes her about the singer is what really lies underneath all of this newfound bad girl branding.
I really do feel like part of the intrigue is I just want, like, the mask to come off, because I feel like when she was younger, like, sure, that might have been, like, her personality, but I feel like now that she's, like, 20-something, I'm like, there's no way.
So what will come of Jojo Siwa's journey into the dark side? Will the mask come off? Was it all just a publicity stunt? Only time will tell. For now, though, we'll keep convulsively dancing our hearts out to Karma, no matter what the haters say. For WNUR News, I'm Basil Free.
As campus thaws, Northwestern Wildlife is roaming around campus. Jessica Watts asked students about their stories, theories, and opinions about these furry creatures.
Individual quirks. Some live in the trash cans outside of dorms on campus, while others can be found roaming the grassy plain of Deering Meadow. Regardless of where they are, these animals have made their presence known. Some students, like Medill sophomore Amanda Oliver, have their own theories on where these animals came from.
I am very convinced that all of the bunnies on campus are cameras. Like, they are not normal. Like, every time that I see them, they just stare. They don't blink. I should not be seeing as many bunnies as I am. And they just sit there, and they just stare at you with their black, unblinking eyes every time I walk on this campus. And it's just not okay. Like, it's just simply not okay. I'm like, who is watching me? Who is getting this feed of me every time?
Bunnies aren't the only critters that have made their way onto Northwestern's campus. Raccoons and squirrels are also commonly spotted. Recently, there have been sightings of an abnormally large raccoon outside of East and West Fairchild, two adjacent dorms on South Campus, as well as other South Campus dorms like Allison and Willard. Freshman Jack Ververis is familiar with at least one of these furry creatures.
I know a lot of times outside Willard, there is a raccoon that likes to hide in the trash cans and recycling bins. It's probably because of the Snacks by Southwest. Because of all the food waste that goes there. That's also the most rat-populated spot in all of Evanston, is the intersection outside Willard. It's cursed with that knowledge. But you see these raccoons and rats around a lot of those places where there's a big trash buildup.
Another common sentiment among students is how close the animals get to them. Unlike many other places where animals tend to run away when in close proximity to students, Northwestern students like junior Taylor Shaw have noticed that that is not the case for this campus.
The squirrels really love getting close to me this year. I don't know what's up with that. They've just been so many times where I'll be like sitting outside or studying or something, and a squirrel will just randomly come up to me and I like don't know what to do.
Sophomore Tatum Baldwin has also noted a higher amount of wildlife this school year compared to others.
I've also seen a surprising number of rats this year. I don't remember seeing any last year, but I've seen like three wrestling in front of me one time, and there was one mouse that like ran in front of me by the crosswalk by the arch, and that was very concerning. So it was like a foot in front of me, and it just like ran across.
Do these animals pose any real threat to students? Well, that depends on who you ask. Earlier this year, a student at Marist College in New York was attacked by a coyote while on campus. According to Fox News, officials are urging students to stay far away from any wild animals seen on campus. Additionally, there have been reports of raccoon attacks at UT Austin and squirrel attacks at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. But while most of the animals on Northwestern's campus are likely harmless, one in particular has students a little worried.
I feel like this year there's been lot more wildlife that I've seen roaming around, especially at night. I think in the past week or so, I've seen skunks 2 or 3 times, which is very unusual. So I think last year in total, I saw 2 or 3. So just seeing so many in such a short amount of time is very strange.
But is the presence of these animals a problem overall? According to BBC Earth, seeing wildlife can provide important mental health benefits. Neuroscientist Olav Kriegolson found that our brains reward us when looking at a cute picture of an animal, as it helps to boost our mood and concentrate better. Therefore, seeing cute animals on campus can't be all bad, right?
I think with most of the animals, like birds or bunnies, people are happy to see them. People think of them as cute, beautiful wildlife. I think, though, even with some of the other animals, like raccoons or rats, even if people maybe are a little grossed out by them, I think it's still important that we appreciate them. I can't imagine any way that Northwestern wouldn't have those animals beyond, like, trapping and removal. And I think that would be such a huge effort. I think Northwestern exists alongside the animals, and you can't really separate the two.
For WNUR News, I'm Jessica Watts.
Here's Mariah Pettway with Weekend Jazz, Kendrick's diss track, and more in this week's Concert Countdown.
Welcome to Concert Countdown, WNUR News' comprehensive guide to upcoming shows in the Evanston and Chicago area. From Evanston Space to Plaza Garibaldi and more. If you're looking to see some live music this weekend, you've come to the right place. Starting off, artists are performing at Evanston Space. Andrew Bell will be playing a sold-out show tonight at Evanston Space. He is known for his lyrics you can feel. His first album, The Ladder, was recorded in a studio where notable artists like Bon Iver and Beach House have recorded. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. At Evanston Space this Saturday, see the Devlon Lamar Organ Trio for their 6 p.m. or 9 p.m. show. It is open to all ages and tickets start at $25. The trio specializes in, quote, feel-good music. So head on down to Evanston Space this weekend for some good live jazz music. If you are feeling the Dale Duro's cowboy dance that celebrated If you were feeling Dale Duro's cowboy dance that celebrated Mexican culture last weekend, then you will really like this group, Los Primos del Este. They will be performing at the Plaza Garibaldi in Chicago this weekend at 7 p.m. General admission starts at $70. Coming up in Chicago, we've narrowed our selection down to performances from Jess McCartney and Gunna. Former Law & Order SUV actor and now singer-songwriter Jess McCartney will be performing tonight in Chicago's Vic Theater. Tickets are on high demand and start from $158. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. Gunna is a rapper signed to the same record label as Young Thug, as he was featured on songs with popular artists like Chris Brown. Some of his popular songs are Trip Too Hard and Pushin' P. He will be performing at Argonne Ballroom next Wednesday at 6:45 p.m. GA starts at $108. Next, looking at some recent news in music. This past Tuesday, Kendrick Lamar released Euphoria, a diss track targeted at Drake. This past Wednesday, Faye Webster released a live performance of her song Lifetime for her Reproductive Rights Benefit album. That's all we've got for you this week. Tune in next Friday to find out more about concerts happening near you. For WNUR News, I'm Mariah Pettway.
Even if you're going through a lot this quarter, at least the weather's great. Francesco Thorix-Aboya has the story.
Hi, I'm Francesco for WNUR News. Welcome back to Fairweather Friends. Each week, we try to give you our best to give you a peek into the local and national weather. This is actually my first time on Fairweather Friends since fall quarter, and I can't wait to tell you about all the great weather coming up this weekend. From Evanston, Illinois, this is Fairweather Friends. Exams are looming over us as midterms creep in. There are 10,000 events every day, and although you may be worried about a million different things, hey, at least the weather's nice. The weather this quarter is a heck of a lot nicer than the straight-up snowstorms we had to deal with last quarter, and it's been pretty consistent throughout the spring. Last week, we had some ups and downs with heavy rain and the weather hanging mostly around the 60s and 70s, so it wasn't too hot or too cold despite the showers. Today's weather has been quite nice with mostly sunshine and some broken clouds. We've had a high of 68 and a low of 60 so far, and this upcoming weekend is looking just amazing. Having no snowy Saturdays or Sundays is a welcome change from winter quarter, if you ask me, as we have a high of 74 tomorrow with a low of just 51. Looking like it'll be a little breezy with plenty of sunshine to go around. Sunday is looking pretty nice too, with a high of 58 and a low of 46. Unfortunately, it seems the same can't be said for what's going on next week, as we may just see rainfall on Tuesday and Wednesday. Doesn't seem like anything crazy, but it'll definitely be cloudy and windy with little drizzles of rain. Overall, though, you can expect pretty nice weather this weekend. Not like you'll be able to enjoy much of it anyway, since you might be crammed inside your dorm room or in a corner of Maine or mud with your head in a textbook. Conversely, things don't seem to be going as smoothly in Texas. Looks like there's been some torrential rain in southeast Texas, according to the Weather Channel. Hopefully things don't go south for them. See what I did there? That's all for this week's edition of Fair Weather Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay warm, cold, dry, however the weather chooses to behave that day. But hey, it's looking pretty nice this weekend. In Evanston, Illinois, Francesco Thorik-Saboya, WNUR News.
Taking a look into headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. Heads up, students, this coming Monday, Norris University Center is implementing new hours for some of their dining locations. Student favorites like Mod Pizza, Shake Smart, and more will have altered or reduced hours for the rest of spring quarter. These changes may or may not carry over into next school year. On Thursday, the Evanston Reparations Committee met with the Regional Director of Liberty Bank in Chicago, one of the nation's largest Black-owned financial institutions. Earlier this year, the committee announced that the bank will house the Evanston Reparations Fund, which will gradually amass a minimum of $17 million. The Skokie Festival of Music and Cultures is running May 18th and 19th at Oakden Park. The event will feature food, performances, merchandise, and more, all centered around cultural diversity. Today, the Justice Department released an indictment against Texas Representative Henry Cuellar and his wife. The pair was charged with bribery and money laundering related to their ties with a bank in Mexico and an oil and gas company. Before the charges were released, Cuellar denied any wrongdoing. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Rachel Spears, and our reporters are Edward Simon Cruz, Grace Herzog, Basil Free, Jessica Watts, Mariah Petway, and Francesco Thorik-Saboya. I'm Juliet Allen. Catch our next newscast Monday, May 6th. Now, back to scheduled programming.